Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of J&T Sports. Tutu, you there? Tutu, you there?
Good to have you on the show, man. Good to have you on the show.
I'm just saying, Tracy.
Hello.
How's it been, Tutu?
Oh, what's up, bro?
Welcome to another episode of J&T Sports. How did signing day go for y'all down there at Texas A&M Commerce, man?
I only seen like two kids they signed. They were like a lineman, like a linebacker. I ain't really going into detail. I just seen it on Twitter. But I seen them sign like two new freshmen, but like high school, two seniors. I only seen two. But they said it's supposed to be like one of the best recruiting classes they ever had. So I guess, you know, we'll see once they get here.
And y'all are supposed to go D2 in a couple years or next year?
Yeah, I'm probably going D1 in a couple of years.
Oh, y'all already D2.
Yeah, we already D2.
Okay, cool.
We're D2. What conference is it? Lone Star Conference. It's one of the best conferences in D2 football. With Midwestern State and Tarleton and us. So, yeah.
Okay.
Shout out to participating in the basketball signing day. Shout out to all of them.
I mean, it's just the beginning of the journey, but, you know, it's a big first step. Not everybody gets to participate in this day. So,
this is very special. And shout out to all the JUCO, the players who went JUCO, some of the guys who was in my class that signed bigger, that went to D1 schools and all that good stuff.
And I was just about to ask you, did anybody from Madison participate in signing day?
Yeah, they had three kids. I only know about two. I only know about three for right now. They had G-Bo. I wouldn't say G-Bo first name, but I don't think I knew it. G-Bo, I had to get G-Bo real name. I forgot that boy's name. But Christopher Hamilton, C-Ham. I don't know what school C-Ham signed to. G-Bo signed to TJC. I think he's waiting on some SAT scores to go somewhere to see if he can go to a bigger school. But for right now, he's going to TJC. He signed TJC today. And Keontae signed to Texas College.
I mean, it really don't matter where you start off at. I mean, you see what Cam Newton did. He went to Blinn, and now he's in the whole Super Bowl. So. But, yeah, shout-out to all the high school seniors that signed to Lamar today. I see we had a bunch of Houston kids sign, and then we had a South Lake Carroll and a DeSoto kid sign.
That's good.
Hopefully it works out.
I'm liking it for Lamar. You know, a South Lake Carroll and DeSoto kid, you know what I mean? Those are athletes, period. You can get anybody from that type of programs. Now, even though,
I mean,
you know, everybody knows DeSoto had a new season this season, a new type of season, but they play it individually. They play it to play. You know, individually, they play it to play. And now they got, you know, and South Lake Kerr had a great team this past season. So whoever you got off that team, whoever they signed off that team, I know the boy can play.
Yeah, I mean, every year we get a couple players every year from Southlake or DeSoto. I think last year you got somebody from Allen, like a defensive back from Allen. But I mean, we expanding. I just wish they would. I like what Lamar do with their recruiting. They grab Texas kids and they try to keep it that way because it's a lot of talent here at home, and some schools, I mean, well, some kids don't realize, like, you can play football at home and still make it out. Like, it's,
Yeah, man. You know, everybody thinks they got them. I think this class kind of realized that, like, the Texas recruits can stay closer to Texas. You know what I mean? Instead of having to
Speaking of that, UT signed the number one DB in the nation, number one at the top 100. So, I mean, that might be good. That might be a turnaround for them. Like, they starting to recruit top-tier players again.
Got them a new offensive coordinator from UNC, North Carolina. So, it should be a lot of changes up there at UNC.
And next season for college football might be interesting just because, I mean, you see how your Wolverines did this year and the recruits.
Yes, sir. He could have had way more. I know a couple kids decommitted, about like 3-4 kids probably decommitted from him, but he still came out on top, and then there's no one recruiting in the whole recruiting class, so... Anytime you do that, you know what I mean, you got the best kid out the class, so.
I mean, yeah, they got the
You know what I mean, Harbaugh on his Kyler Perry right now, you know what I mean? Including best kids, you know what I mean? That's how it go.
But it's like you said, talent is just starting to spread out even more and more, and people not going after. I mean, you know, Alabama, they were still on the list as, like, one of the schools that got some of the best recruits out of this recruiting class, but still, Michigan.
I just seen them. Alabama signed a kid from
I seen it too. Was it? It's a Dallas school, right?
Yeah, Dallas school. Whole Dallas school. I'm like, man.
Was it?
I mean, that's crazy. We shouldn't get our kids like that, man. Oh, he's from Jeremy Pruitt is the defensive coordinator that he said that got him. His name is Jared Maiden. He from Saxe.
Was he from Saxe? Yeah, there you go. Saxe. I mean,
if you Skyline know a lot about Saxe, you know, I know Richard when he was Skyline, they played Saxe. So
we got a quarterback from Lamar. Lamar from came from Saxe High School, but I think what it is it's like, just say you were being recruited by some local schools like UNT, maybe A&M, Baylor, TCU, and then you get that call from like LSU or Alabama, and then you have Nick Saban and the coach for LSU, Les Miles, they at your house, like they come into your house talking to you, sweet talking to your parents. They telling your parents they're gonna take good care of you. You're gonna have food. You don't have to worry about all the extra expenses in college. So that's where it can kind of switch up the game, and that's why some of these kids leave Texas, because some kids like venturing off and they don't like staying at home their whole life. So I mean, that's how it is.
Yeah, but they get out there, you know what I mean, and all that stuff gonna go their way all the time. Now I'm saying this stuff will always go your way, being close to the home, but being close to the home is close to the home. No, you can't beat that. being close to the home. You being close to the home, like, you know what I mean, your parents will come talk to you. They can't nobody help you when you're from Texas and you all the way in Notre Dame.
I can name two players that I wish would have stayed at home. Two players I wish would have stayed at home are the first one, Devontae Kincaid. I feel like he would have helped a Texas team much more than they giving him the opportunity. They not really giving him an opportunity out there at Ole Miss, so I feel like he could have stayed. And he could have went to a Baylor, TCU, A&M, even UNT, and shined, mm-hmm. or SMU. It don't matter. Like,
mm-hmm.
And another player I wish would have stayed at home, but I feel like he might get in the spotlight soon, was DeMarcus Lodge. I mean, I would have loved to see DeMarcus Lodge at, like, a UT or somewhere like this.
Yeah, but he went hotty-totty, man. Hotty-totty. I would love to see him, you know what I mean? I feel like for that to happen, it's going to take somebody in Dallas, a nice kid in Dallas, one of the top recruits in Dallas, to pick a Dallas school. Because once you do that, everybody else will fall in line with you. You know what I mean? It's kind of been drifted away from the Texas area.
Well, I mean, we kind of seen that with this year's freshman class, A&M basketball. We had a lot of people stay at home pretty much and go to a Texas school. So, I mean, that might change the trend in basketball, but as far as football, I don't know, because football, you have a lot of options. Like, you have a lot of options. And then you have kids that grow up, always wanting to play in the SEC. SEC still run college football, and I feel like the Big 12
we had that argument one time on the show, and they will always run the college football, just letting it be known. Once again, another year, it was shown who runs college football. I tried to tell them that this is way in the summer. I tried to tell y'all who runs college football, but now that's how to argue with me.
It's not by a landslide, though. Like, Big 12, it's other conferences, like, right behind them.
It's not.
When I say other conferences, I really mean Big 12, because the other conferences, like, you have the conference the Pac-12, Oregon. Oregon win that conference most of the time, but, you know, they choke when it comes to Big 12.
Yeah,
games.
You know, Oregon choke. They've been in the dance how many times? Two years?
I've seen them about three times.
Yeah, man, they choke. Nobody's been right.
They recruit. Like, the athletes they recruit, they good athletes, bro. Like, any school would take the athletes that Oregon has. It's just, they can't. I don't know if it comes down to coaching, but it's just they don't have what it takes to make it to the next level, which is bringing home a championship. I feel like you got an offer from Oregon, you can. In the back of your mind, you might be like, I'm going to get the national exposure that I need, but I'm not sure that we're going to win a national championship. And I don't know how they keep convincing kids that they could win a national championship there.
Mainly because, really, Oregon, man. You know, before you go to Oregon, you know, you're going to be, I mean, it's a good marketing school, so. You're going to be, you know what I mean, on TV. They know they're going to win football games. And they know it's a possibility to them getting to the national championship game. It's just a matter of them winning it. You know what I mean? It's about their program. When y'all going to win it? You know what I mean? I know they're getting tired of being known for all the jerseys. They get old after a while. I don't know how many times I can come out and go cleats and expect us to go wild, but at the end of the day, you got to come out there and start winning some rings.
I mean, that's true, but then again, I guess the problem comes when, like, Alabama, it's coaching to me, because there's no way you're going to beat a Nick Saban. If he gets to the national championship game, he might as well.
They pretty coaching, like, football ain't pretty. Oregon, but all that pretty football, all that Nixon runs and sweeps and all that, man. All that don't work in the national championship game, man. You can't, no. In every game almost that Oregon has played in that championship, they've just been overpowered.
Yeah.
Cam Newton just ran through him, just overpowered him. Who else played him in that championship? Who Mariota
Ohio
lose
State.
To? Just ran
Cardinal
through
Jones.
Him. They got ran through. Every time they lose, they getting overpowered. They're not strong enough. They're not physical enough.
Yeah, that is true.
They ain't physical enough, man. They got that pretty football. That stuff don't work against boys who I heard been grinding. Nah, man.
Well, I mean, the problem really was the problem is that it is that offense that let's make some options with some West Coast offense with some spread offense. Like, they do too much. They just don't stick to one thing. And then when they run into like Alabama, which is like probably the most physical team you probably gonna play, they trying to come out here and knock your head off. Are you trying to run trick plays? So it's just,
why you trying to run trick plays, man? Alabama really win their games in the trenches. They front line, they D line, like, you know, running backs. Man, you ain't about that life the whole season, man. You can't stop these balls.
And it kind of sucks for a team like Oregon or like this year, like Clemson. Clemson did a good job, man. They really did a good job.
Clemson played the best football against Alabama we seen since Auburn played them that year when they ran that kickoff at field goal.
And yeah, I mean,
they played the game down to the T. It just, they ran out of time.
My What I saw from that game was that Clemson quarterback Deshaun Watson.
Yeah,
I feel like he's gonna come into the league and have that Russell Wilson type of impact. Like, he's gonna impact the team right off the bat.
But better,
first.
But better, taller, longer,
taller, more mobile.
And I'm glad he came back for another year, and he on track to graduate in December. So, man, he's gonna be straight football savvy, like, just.
But I'm saying, how do you lose in this upcoming draft, though? Well, not this upcoming draft, but like next year, you're gonna have Deshaun Watson, you're gonna have Leonard Fournette, you're gonna have. You still don't believe in the running back from Stanford, but I feel like he gonna help somebody.
He didn't come out this year.
Nah, he next year. He's a sophomore this year.
See, man, no, man, he ain't, man. Come on. I thought, man, that's what, man.
What's the problem?
Oh, no, man. He got to show me the NFL, man. I ain't got time to be playing game with the man. We already seen you dominate college football. Of course, you might do it again. 9 times out of 10, he's going to do the same thing he did last year. But I'm trying to see what
I believe in him, man. But I guess you can. You can't compare him to what's the new Toby Gerhardt. You can compare him to him.
Yes. I ain't saying that he's not gonna be good in NFL, but as good as he is right now in the NFL, I don't know, bro. I just don't see it. We ain't never seen it before. So until it happened, I ain't never seen it.
Well, I mean, that's next year's draft, so he still got a whole year to do what he have to do to impress teams. But this year's draft, I feel like, is a win-win for everybody this year. I don't know why I feel like that, but I feel like this draft is pretty talented. It got some pretty talented players at every position. The only position that I'm just kind of shaky on is, like, these quarterbacks. Because, I mean, I've heard of them, but I really haven't heard of them until, like, now.
Yeah, you know, I watched the Senior Bowl. I already know these guys. You know, like, I don't really know the quarterback from USC. I don't really know what's the other kid that the Cowboys trying to get, that they talking about getting.
I only thing I can go off of right now is highlights. And, I mean, I feel like if I have to do that, we might as well either go running back or just best player available on the board at the top.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of players available on the board at our time. We know we're poor. It's going to be a whole room for the people. We could always play the pick safe, man, like we've been doing for the last three drafts. We could always pick a lineman. He could always pick an old lineman and play it safe. Jared think he's slick, but I don't see your rule, bro. You mean pick a lineman because it's easy. You can't go wrong with linemen.
I mean, you can, but it's just like the linemen we pick, just I don't know, they just happen to be super cold.
I'm telling you now, we're not drafting a quarterback. So if any Cowboy fans think that they did it, we're not drafting him. We going in free agency, and we're going to get RG3 or Johnny Manziel, depends on how they handle it. Probably both if they can do it.
I'm gonna have to disagree with the Johnny Manziel, man. I'm gonna have to disagree.
If we get the chance to get Derrick Henry, that's who we going with. I totally believe.
Oh, I mean, I don't think you should pass up on somebody like that.
No, I don't think you can. I don't think you can afford to.
And he already said like he loves the organization. He would love to wear Cowboys uniform. So I mean, hey. Just put this man, get this boy the silver star on the side of his helmet. Let's go.
You know what I'm saying, man? We need some, since we lost DeMarco, man, we need young, fresh legs behind that O-line. Somebody fresh, new. So that way, when he run the ball, he having success, and we keep him for years and years, and we'll get worn out messing with linemen, other linemen. We got a good O-line.
Our wide receiver core is cool.
Ours?
I mean, we got Dez. I mean, Terrence Williams. Man, the only thing I don't like is he disappeared when Dez got hurt.
Yeah, that goes for all of them though. Kind of everybody except Cole Beasley, who shows up every game no matter what happens. But you know, he only get his touches. You know what I mean? Cole Beasley, the way his type of play, he only gets certain touches because that fits in his, you know, his skill set and his lane. So it's only the way you got certain ways you got to get him the ball. Everybody else just go ghost. We can't have that, man. We can't have people out here going ghost. Just because Dez get hurt don't mean you go ghost. You know what I mean? Dez is a motivator of that wide receiver core. We need Terrence Williams to step up. I like Terrence Williams, man. He one of the best receivers in the league when he want to be.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like when Dez got hurt, like everybody kind of, nobody was motivated anymore, and it just became like, all right, everybody just kept holding on to that. Everybody injured, so, I mean, we're going to lose anyway. So, I mean, I don't think anybody went into the game like, we're going to win this game. I mean, regardless of Tony Romo being hurt, Dez being hurt, I feel like we just use that for excuse every single week. Well, we lost because, you know, he hurt, Sean Lee hurt. Like, I mean, I get that, but his teams, I heard, with backup quarterbacks, they're winning games.
Yeah, but the thing about us is, you know what I mean, we don't – them teams with the backup quarterbacks, them backup quarterbacks this year that play was in starters, they was either a starter or already had been in positions to start. Like, already been in some type of – yeah, we had Matt Castle, but Matt Castle wasn't with us, like, the whole offseason and –
he was starting for the Bills at the beginning of the season, though.
Yeah. We just got to do a better job. We got to make sure – the Cowboys got to make sure that we are ready for every scenario and make sure everybody is ready. We just can't be ready with our starters and be like, all right, we good. The starter's good, we good. No, we got to make sure the bag is ready. You got to make sure the three's ready to go. We got to make sure special teams people ready. We got to make sure every phase – I mean, of our football team is locked and loaded.
All right. And
not just certain pieces.
All right, this is what we could do. We can draft either Derrick Henry or Ezekiel Elliott first round. I don't mind either one. Second round, we can go defense, maybe get a linebacker or something. I mean, you can always use a linebacker or a DB.
Yep.
Third round, If he's still there, for some reason, I would love to see Braxton Miller in a Cowboys uniform.
Who?
Braxton.
Braxton Miller, man. Hey, if we pick up Braxton Miller, I'm telling you, he got to go ahead and get behind that center again.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, Braxton Miller could come to our team as an athlete.
But if we do draft him, man, Dez, I hope Dez, like, polish him up. Because he could be a good receiver. I ain't saying he can't be it. But he just really at the position. He uses his athleticism. But that's not going to, that's not going to work in the league. You know what I mean? It'll work some days, some Sundays. But to be at the top of your position, you know what I mean, it's going to take some skills, knowledge, too. And he just, and it's not that he can't get it, it's just he been playing a position a short period of time, so where he got to catch up. He's just playing catch up. So I feel like somebody draft him with a receiver who already established himself in the league, oh, man, they get him, he'll turn into something nasty.
I mean, I really think Braxton going to end up turning out like Michigan old quarterback, Denard Robinson. He was a quarterback in college, and then he played running back for the Jaguars now.
Yeah,
probably end up like that.
Can he retain hits? No, I mean, I see, can he take a couple of hits, man?
I mean, but at the end of the day. Chance
me on the NFL. Let me just try to knock out some of these topics. Colin Kaepernick wants to play with the Jets, but it's one problem.
Huh.
It's one problem. I said Colin Kaepernick want to go play with the Jets, but it's one problem.
What's the problem?
Brandon Marshall don't want him.
Oh.
Brandon Marshall came out and said he don't want no Kaepernick. He is okay with Fitzgerald. I mean, not Fitzgerald.
Fitzpatrick.
What's his name, man?
Fitzpatrick.
He's okay with Fitzpatrick. I'm telling y'all, man, I've been saying this for a long time, man. Kaepernick is trash.
Oh, man.
The young man is garbage. Oh, no, I ain't going to say that. He ain't garbage. But he's not good.
You don't think so?
And I'll blame the 49ers for that.
So you blaming Harbaugh?
Yeah, I do blame him for that. That's why he lost Super Bowl. That's his only fault in his coaching career or anything ever he done. That's the only bad thing he ever did was bench Alex Smith to start Kaepernick. That's the worst thing he ever did. That's why his brother beat him. That's why he lost his brother. If he ever wondered why he lost his brother, that's exactly why.
Colin, I'm really just going to say one thing about Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick would probably fit in a Chip Kelly type system, to be honest.
Yeah. But Chip Kelly don't want him.
Well, Colin.
Well, I don't know. Chip Kelly don't want him, but if Chip Kelly want him, I mean, he ain't made it clear. He ain't made it clear that he want him. So.
Well, this is my message to Colin Kaepernick, man. If you can't find a job, there's always a job opening in Cleveland, Ohio. There's always a job opening there. I mean, it ain't going to be pretty, but, I mean, in Cleveland, Ohio, man.
Yeah, no, don't go to Cleveland. I say sorry. I didn't say he was – I want his career to end. Don't do that to him, man. He still got to make money. He got to make a living. Don't send him to Cleveland. He send him somewhere else.
Hold on. Let me think about it.
The Rams. No, I mean,
yeah,
the Bulls over there. No, I mean, somebody. It's not even that, bro. Colin Kaepernick didn't get time to polish it, so, like, he hasn't, you know what I mean? Like, the way they threw him in there, they just threw him in there. And, yeah, it worked because didn't nobody know how to stop it. Didn't nobody know how to stop his read out here, Tom. But once after that season, what happened? Shut down. What's going to happen when you throw people out there, just like 12 gays? That's how y'all was talking about 12 gays. 12 gays this, 12 gays that, no. People got to watch and film what they do. Stop it.
And you know what's funny? You know what's funny, man?
What?
I'm gonna go ahead and give you your credit, man. You was right about the 12 gays, man. I just wanted to see the man succeed. But I feel like that's the same way you are looking, and all the rest of the other Cowboys fans are looking at Johnny Manziel. Y'all just think that he gonna magically turn into a golden child when he gets here and just be running, throwing up the money sign and not end zone, and that's not.
I do not think that. This is my speaking. Since let's get on Johnny because he was already on my list. Since you brought him up, let's knock out two birds one stone. Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel is not doing nothing wrong. You tell me one thing Johnny has did wrong.
That he did
I'm tired
wrong?
Of people. He ain't did nothing wrong, man. What has he did bad?
All
right. Besides going out to a club is horrible. Him enjoying his life, that's terrible.
It's not terrible to enjoy your life until you start getting DUIs and stuff, man.
Yes. Okay. Now, this will be a void. Okay. Now we all seen Johnny Manziel in college. Now, I mean, he got into a couple of issues, not a lot of issues like he is now. When you play for the Cleveland Browns, you are Johnny Manziel. You play for the Cleveland Browns. Y'all lose every Sunday that you step out on the field. Every Sunday that you play football, you lose. 2 years in a row. How do you expect somebody to handle it? You come from winning a winning environment. You come from college, you leave college winning, and you come to the NFL losing every Sunday. And y'all don't expect a person to have a reaction. He played for the Cleveland Browns. Now, if he was playing for the New England Patriots and doing this, that's a different story.
All right. I get what you're saying, but at the same time, you can't control what team you get drafted to. So my thing
you
is,
can't.
even if you don't like the team that you play for, or you're not feeling the organization, that doesn't give you the right to start doing crazy things, or you still got to act like a grown man at the end of the day.
And then on top of that, where is the Cleveland Browns leaders? They have no leaders in the locker room. How do you continue to let this young kid just keep messing up, and nobody says nothing? Who's leading the team?
I mean, I really only have one leader, and that's Joe Hayden. But other than that,
and he was out the whole year. He was hurt.
I mean, I get what you're saying. This is my only thing, bro. If Johnny Manziel comes to Dallas, I don't want any negative attention coming to our we don't need any negative media attention.
We're gonna always have negative media. We're the Cowboys. But I understand what you're saying.
But I'm just saying I don't want us to end up being the butt of the joke because we were the team that took a chance on him, and it's a possibility that he's still gonna do crazy. I mean, not crazy stuff, but just, you know, do stuff off the field that's gonna bring negative media attention to us, and then that'll be another year wasted of us trying to gamble on a player that deserves a second chance.
I feel you. But I feel like we do it the same way. I ain't saying we got to put him in here, pay him all his money, start him, blah, blah. No, we're not finna do all that. We're going to sit him down and tell him the same thing that we told other players when they kept getting in trouble. This is how we going to do it. Either you going to do it our way or it's the highway, brother.
I mean,
deuces, be gone.
If we bring Johnny Manziel to Dallas, they need to bring Jerry Jones to the meeting, Dez, Tony, Jason, and Sean Lee. We need to bring all our leaders to the meeting with this man. And they need to sit down and have a conversation and tell this man that if you're serious about playing, you got to understand who you're playing for, bro. I mean, I know we from Dallas. We from Dallas, so we're going to be biased. But when you put a Cowboys uniform on, you have to realize, that's as good as you're going to get in the NFL as far as media attention. That's all you need right there, media attention.
The Browns, I don't care what nobody say. This ain't our journey part. The Browns are a horrible organization. They horrible.
They are.
From the owner all the way down. They're not trying to help Johnny. If you were trying to help him, you would give him some help. They're not trying to help their kid.
I mean, they put him in rehab a couple times.
He put himself in rehab. He voluntarily put himself in rehab. They didn't do nothing. The same way with Josh Gordon. They got the best receiver in the NFL, but but he can't pass a drug test. Why? Because your organization is trash. This stuff that we shouldn't have to worry about. We don't hear this about other organizations. But for the Cleveland Browns, we do. They don't care about their players, man. That's why they got sorry players, because don't nobody want to play for them.
And
the Cleveland Browns is like the their organization might as well be like one of them NFL teams who ain't a real NFL team, but they in the NFL just to fill up the spot.
Hey, man, we can.
They're like a practice team for a lot of players. The players are only roster, they practicing for other teams. The other coach be like, hey, who that kid? They say, oh, that's so-and-so. Yeah, we're going to get him. They just take him on the roster and put him on better players.
We might need to call the people over Friday Night Tights and see if we can swap them out for the Outlaws.
Hey, man, the Outlaws. You know what I mean? The Colts. The Colts will play better football than the Browns. The little kids out there, man, that's for real. That's that Texas football. You start early. Speaking of that, got another. Right now, I'm going to wait on that one. I'm just going to another topic. What is the Cowboys going to re-sign Greg Hardy, or are we just going to let the man go?
All right. This how I feel about Greg Hardy. I don't know, because at first I was having like mixed emotions about Greg Hardy, but I think after seeing what he tweeted to Dez and Tony Romo, I think Greg Hardy was actually a good, like, I think we saved his career. We might have saved his career in Dallas.
Yeah,
he had all this negative media attention. He could have quit. He could have. No team wanted to take this could work for Johnny Manziel too, but no team really wanted to take a chance on Greg Hardy, because he did something way worse than what Johnny Manziel is doing right now. But you know, they brought him in, Jerry Jones talked to him, they explained his contract, and they say, you know, if you get out of line, I mean, we're just going to have to release you. And, I mean, yeah, they had, you know, a couple altercations on the sidelines during the season, like him and Dez. But, I mean, as you can see, like, he tweeted Dez, and he was like, you know, I appreciate y'all taking me in. And, I mean, Dez, like, you're a legend.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Keeping Greg Hardy would be best for us and Greg Hardy. I don't think we need to let that man go. I mean, he had a good year. He did what we needed him to do. I mean, he didn't have the best year of his career, but, I mean, you know, he had an impact on the team. And he stayed out of the media the whole year, so I don't see why not. I don't know.
He did. I feel like, you know what I mean, I feel like everybody's probably going to calm down about it, you know what I mean, the media-wise, and calm down about it. I feel like we can keep him, but if we release him, if they decide to not sign him, you know what I mean, I ain't going to make a big deal out of it, you know what I mean, it is what it is. But if we do keep him, you know what I mean, it is what it is.
I mean, I just say we keep him. I mean, if he keep his head on straight like he did this year, he can mentor DeMarcus Lawrence, Randy Gregory, all of them too. And you never know, we can have a monster line next year. If everybody, I feel everybody just needs to get in their mind. Y'all playing for the Dallas Cowboys, and the fans expect nothing less than a championship every single year.
That's how we expect it, man. That's just, everybody just need to get that in their mind.
Everybody.
The whole world. I don't know.
We got about 4 minutes left on the show, so.
Yeah, we ain't do no. All right, let's just jump to the NBA real fast. All right, I'm just going to throw all these trades now together. There's a lot of trades being talked about right now, trade rumors. You got, how you feel about the Clippers trading Blake Griffin?
I don't like it, because
I think they 15-3 right now without Blake Griffin on the court.
Okay, but come playoff time, I usually zero against everybody.
You're right. That's the only reason I say don't trade him. Chris Paul playing good basketball now. I watched him first take his shit. It's like, now he back to being aggressive. I'm like, yeah, he back to being aggressive, so he ain't, you know, because Blake ain't on the floor. My point is, bro,
no
why can't, you know, when you play, like, when you are a superstar, you play with another superstar, why both of y'all, why one person got to hold off from, you know, for the other person? Like, why we both just can't go in the game? Why do I got to level down my play for you? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, that's the whole thing.
Why can't be the guy?
I mean, I feel like that's what KD and Russell Westbrook finally figured out, though, how to coexist.
Yeah, like, that's what they need to do. Like, I'm saying, like, don't worry about who. Because, you know, you look at Shaq and Kobe, like, they didn't have a best player on their team. Like, it was just Shaq and Kobe. Like, they were going ham, both of them, at the same time, like, to the best of their ability. That's how they won a basketball game. I feel like,
everybody's so self-centered now.
Yeah. This is why I just play basketball. He get yours, he get his. Now, I feel like they'd be so worried about getting more or getting less. I mean, that's where the conflict is coming in.
Yeah, and but yeah, they definitely don't need to trade Blake Griffin. That'd be the biggest mistake that they could make, because then you're going. I get what they're saying. They saying, like, now everybody moving the ball around a lot more. They shooters like JJ, Jamal Crawford, Lance Stevenson, they all getting involved now. But
he ducking on Julius Randle, man.
If you're going to trade somebody, trade DeAndre Jordan. I'm going to tell you why, bro. DeAndre Jordan is the most inconsistent big man I have ever seen in my life, bro.
Oh, my God. Oh.
You don't know. You don't know if you're going to get 20 and 10.
Well, they need DeAndre in the playoffs. If DeAndre in the playoffs, is DeAndre a help or if he more, nah, I mean, liability?
That's the thing. I think he's so unpredictable that you don't know.
All right, man. Direct to L.A., how you feel about that?
Ah, man. Direct to L.A. I really would personally like to see my boy.
Kobe Bryant is not retiring.
Kobe Bryant is going to have to retire.
Kobe can't retire if Kevin Durant go play with the Lakers. That's a six rings, bro. That's six rings. Especially if Durant, I mean, if Russell comes join the next year, no. You got to play another 3 years. You got to play 22 years. You're going to have to. What are you at, 20 right now? 19. He got to stay another 2 years, bro, because that's like six rings, man. That's as close as he's going to get to it.
I'm just. Would Kobe want that for his legacy, though?
What?
Winning a ring, having to win a ring with another superstar.
He already did. He won three with Shaq.